instead of hiring human for a gig, you're going to talk to an agent to do that for you. So you're going to have the public marketplace of agents, but then the real awesome companies are going to have their internal workforce that has capabilities that are not public, that use private data, private process, secret, and private to their company.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how to hyperscale your business with enterprise AI agents. We've all heard about how AI and digital humans and agents can assist in many roles and augment humans. Today, we have AI agents that can get real work done autonomously or in a team. They can learn your process, use your data, have infinite memory, and can scale on demand without having to be trained, managed, or motivated. My guest today is Alexander Derrida, who is the co-founder and CTO of SmithOS, who will tell us how their company has created AI agents that take over many types of jobs and augment human work and work alongside their human colleagues. Welcome, Alexander. Great. Let's start with a little bit about your background and how SmithOS came into being.
Yeah, I have a background in computer science. Have worked in machine learning since 2008. I've built and sold multiple companies. My latest exit was November 2021. We sold a large enterprise digital marketing agency to a global digital transformation company. And since then, we have been working on AI technology and how businesses and enterprise agencies and so forth will basically do work very differently in the future.
So you've got an extensive background in both technology and entrepreneurship. So how do you see AI transforming the day-to-day business strategies within all companies, but especially pharmaceutical and biotech?
Well, I already spoke to a few medical companies. It's a very broad question, and the applications of artificial intelligence will be felt throughout the industry at every stage of application. Medical foundational scientific discoveries in the science of life, then maybe you heard of AlphaFold from DeepMind.
Yes. And we
keep getting better and better AI models. Google's MedPalm, which is making its way through regulation. So we're getting all these foundational models, foundational capacities there. So research, then a higher level diagnosis, basic tooling, even how researchers work their own processes, become more efficient. Simulations. We could simulate at some point an entire organism, complex organism, and tailor simulations to that organism and see what the outcome is. That would dramatically improve the speed of clinical trials. Imagine you could have an entire animal organism simulated, and you didn't have to wait for the animal to grow old to see what happens. You can go forward, rewind back, because it's not an actual animal, it's a model of an animal, but accurate enough to make very large initial impressions quickly that could potentially shave off months of trial testing. So we can see medication coming, treatment plans, new techniques for treating people, advancements in both genetic treatments, but also like the science of treating the epigenome, which I'm very fascinated with as a software programmer, right? Because it's the software that runs our hardware, which is like our cells and DNA and everything. So if you can reprogram the software, you can do marvelous things. And I mean, I would just like point to some of these amazing papers that have been coming out in the last 2 years or so around how people have been reprogramming those cells spectacularly to just like restore eyesight and stuff. So then you combine that with artificial intelligence that goes into, you know, companies like Neuralink who are putting sensors in our brain and understanding the neurochemistry pathway signals that are coming, and if you could take all that data, you'll need AI to make sense of it. It's a lot of data. You need to find patterns. So once again, AI is transforming. So basically, at every level of the chain, AI is transforming that. But then on the application level too, like imagine now you have all these new therapies and all these new medications and all this new science. You still need a way to go and deliver it to humans. So one of the companies I talked to is delivering care for patients in between doctor visits. You know, are you taking your meds? Are you feeling well? Well, now we all have these wearables, and these wearables have a ton of data on them as well. And what if you can like tap into that, compare it to your blood test results you had last time, compare it to your treatment plan, and allow your physician to see how you're doing on the meds, not waiting 4 or 5 months until, I don't know, you have a rash or you're crying your eyes out because it messes with your brain chemistry, but in real time, see how you're responding, how your body's responding. All of that analysis and so forth can be done with AI. Patient calls can be made by AI agents to check in on patients, ask them questions, see how they're doing, then take the answers they gave, again, process with AI, and feed it into the systems that then trigger certain thresholds when it becomes important for your physician to give you a call personally and say, hey, maybe we should adjust so-and-so treatment. We're talking about healthcare in like international waters, governed by all the countries' laws and regulations where they go through and all of the medical standards they need to pass and the welfare of the people on those ships and tracking all that and orchestrating that and making it compliant, making sure medication arrives on cruise ships for a person that might need it and make sure that it's still cold and was refrigerated so it's not spoiled. All of those things can be orchestrated by AI agents. There's really like no limit to how long and how much I can answer this question because it is so profound. It's like saying, how can electricity change our lives?
It's very interesting because some of the things you mentioned we've actually already got. So for example, digital twins, you mentioned, you know, a digital version of patients. So we wouldn't need animals and patients. We actually have got to a point. I was at a digital twin conference 2 weeks ago, and we actually have got drugs now that have been approved that actually didn't have any animals or humans in the early phases. So we've already got that digital twin technology really nicely. And there was a really other interesting company that I spoke to on my podcast, which was Nuro.world, I think it is. And they're a bit like Neuralink, but they're not invasive. So they actually do all the same stuff just with a headpiece. So yeah, there's some really amazing things happening right now. So it's quite an exciting time. Yeah. But particularly with what you guys are doing with your AI-powered agents. I mean, you know, you're talking about your agents actually orchestrating a lot of these different things. So can you tell us a bit, because I just found it fascinating, can you tell me a little bit about your agents and how, you know, what kind of jobs they do and how they orchestrate things?
Yeah. It's more like what jobs they can't do. That's often the problem, like narrowing it down to a specific use case. I talk to members of the Department of Defense and hear their problems and be like, oh, I can build an agent for that. And next thing I talk to a marketing specialist and like I can create agents for that. Next thing you're talking to, you know, a Hollywood executive who is trying to put a strategic pipeline together. I can build agents for that. The key thing is going to be putting this technology in the hands of as many people as possible. Because like when Steve Jobs announced the App Store, he could not imagine all the apps we have today. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's just sometimes technology is so foundational that it just changes everything. Yeah. So let's break it down a little bit to make it like easier to understand. Get some definitions out of the way. What do we talk about when we say an AI agent? Well, we're all familiar with AI tools, right? Canva has some AI built in there, can help you fix your images or make some social media image visuals. GPT lets you chat with it and write an essay, you can talk to it. The fundamental difference when you stop talking about like an AI tool and you start talking about an AI agent is that the word agent, it has agency. So agency, what is that? For starters, agency requires the ability to use tools. So the ability to send an email, the ability to read from a hard drive, the ability to use one or two or three other AI models to get a task done, or the ability to decide it's time to take action, right, run autonomously, the ability to also call for help when it gets stuck. All those things are like what we call agents. Like these are core fundamental principles that separate agents from just singular AI tools. And so what we're noticing is that the way we look at the internet is we see the internet as a living, breathing organism. If you look at the internet like a cell or like a culture of cells, you see it dividing, multiplying, you see it evolving, you see it always getting smarter. Let's say you take a subsection of the internet and you look at all the different software companies who are providing APIs to do different things. And you look at the advancements they're making. One company might get really good at generating video from text. A year ago, that was really bad. But now their APIs are providing astonishing results. That's evolution. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the internet like an organism, it's evolving, right?
Yeah.
And so recognizing that every new AI model creates new opportunities for the entire community of internet users. Mm-hmm. So a traditional company might have done something like this. Oh, I need a login page, so I'm going to build a login page. Oh, and I need a way to email my users, I'm going to do that. I need a way to manage my users, I'm going to do that. I need a payment module, I'm going to build that. The new internet, however, imagine like an intelligent AI agent that can automatically talk to and say, oh, we need login. Who's good at login? Like ants and pheromones, like spread through the network. And they call upon the internet and say, who can help me solve this? Oh, I can. I raise my hand and say, okay, let's try it out. Okay, I had a good experience. I'm going to remember that. And I'm going like a link that forms in your brain that remembers things. And so the philosophy we have is that like this idea of artificial general intelligence can also emerge from collective consciousness and swarm intelligence. And when you see the internet with all its APIs, all its information, all of its artificial intelligence models and all its different capacities and workflows that it has access to, the question becomes this: what if we have reached a point where foundation AI models could know when to ask for help and how to make API calls? Well, we reached that point in March of this year. This is when, actually, in the labs, we reached it a year ago, in October last year. The world didn't have access to it until March of this year. And when we saw that that new capability came out, we said, this changes the world fundamentally. So what we built with Smith is a way to orchestrate or coordinate all intelligence that's available to you. All your company's data, all your APIs, all the different AIs you can possibly imagine to get work done. So somebody might say, I need to have an agent that reads these websites every day, so compares it to a database of things I've already written about, and finds out what I might be interested to create a report about. After I decide that, I'm going to send it to another agent and ask for some help to now go and research that particular topic across the web and see what everyone is saying. And that agent might say, I really want to know what they're saying about this on Twitter. And then it goes researches Twitter and it augments its own knowledge. The one agent says, yep, I finished that. So now we're back to the research agent, compiles all the research in a database, and then hands over that document, so to speak, of that research to a writer. Then the writer might go to work and say, well, I want to write about this, but I also want to do some SEO research and know how to optimize for this. And it talks to another agent that gives them that, and so forth and so on. They all collaborate like ants. They build entire colonies and work together. And now at the end, you end up with a piece of content. And it could be like, hi, Dr. Andre Bates, your article's ready for draft. If you want, I can publish it. And after you're done with that, you say, speak to your other agent and say, now go repurpose that content across all my social media. Well, that's marketing, but could you imagine what this can do for businesses and enterprise, their internal processes, the way they market, the way they project manage, the way they manufacture and take all the sensory data in, the way that logistics works, and like one warehouse talks to another, hey, what's your supply on this one? I'm kind of running low. This predictive algorithm says that I might need some of this soon. Can you dispatch that to me? And in medicine, organizing, you can have an agent that coordinates all of the patient's records and helps patients and healthcare providers coordinate healthcare. If you give agents the ability to make phone calls or send text messages, they can follow up with patients on behalf of the physician, all in predefined workflows that you approve of. They also know how to work with other humans. So our next colleague is an AI agent, right? You can imagine a startup company who cannot afford to hire 100 people to compete. Now they just spin up 100 agents to help them. What is SmithOS? It's really geared towards agencies who are working already with enterprises. They have existing relationships. They know the problems their clients are trying to solve firsthand, and they know how to implement solutions. What we're providing is a technology stack, an operating system, whereby they can drag and drop, no code, coordinate all those systems to create incredible impact.
Wow. So you were talking about, the example with the warehouse, my stock's running low. So the data, is it really basically getting the agent into the back end of each of these warehouses, for example, into their enterprise systems to see exactly what's going on so they can talk to each other?
Yeah, and you let's say you drag and drop an API component, right?
Yeah.
And then say, okay, well, I'm going to make a call to my database at this address, and I'm going to ask for this and this data. The API responds, and where does that data go? You connect another box to it and just draw the line, connect this to here. And now the other box knows what to do with that data. Maybe it's another AI. Maybe it's a language model. Maybe it analyzes images from, I saw this, this company, what was it? It was a Swiss company. They had made a warehouse automation robot that was sold to Amazon. I think it was like $2 billion. It was these flat pallet of robots that were driving around with things on top of, they could move things around autonomously around warehouses. They had another approach for inventory, and they had drones flying around the warehouse at night when the workers were asleep, just going scanning everything with photographs and taking inventory. So those drones are now making a database of photographs.
Yeah.
And those photographs need to be processed by an image recognition system.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you could do with our platform with Smith, you can easily orchestrate all that, right? You take, for example, first of all, they could signal the drones, hey, it's time to start working. Then when the drones are done, they send like a callback to our system, and it says, okay, we're ready to start processing this. An API call to that drive, it reads the files one by one. It sends it to another AI that can do the image processing. It extracts maybe text or observations. This looks damaged or something like that. And now you have new data coming from the images. You transform data into usable data. And then you want to do something with it. Maybe it makes one call to your product inventory system where it updates counters. Or it could, if it notices something is damaged, it might put it in another action. So you add a classifier, say, if this happens, then do that. And instead of programming if-then-else statements, you can describe them with human language and say, if it looks like it's broken, call the manager. You can just write it. You can program with English. Instead of having to program, like, what does a damaged box look like? What are all the ways it could possibly look damaged? And when is the appropriate time? You could just describe it in human language. You would talk to a colleague. And so there you go. We've just like automated an entire workflow for such a warehouse. And I mean, it things that would take you months to put together in like monolithic code. We've got a full debugger, debugging step by step. You can know exactly what's happening. It's completely auditable. Everything is logged. You can easily see what agent failed. Just like you can hold somebody accountable in your human team, you know exactly where the weakness was. And it's very resilient. It knows when it fails and when to ask for help to a human. This is fundamentally transforming work. We are not 5 years from now, just labor in general would just look completely different. And agents are the future. Now, there's many ways to create agents. I count over 10 open source projects right now that will help you code agents from scratch. We're providing the enterprise level infrastructure, security, scalability, but also all of the integrations that enterprise might need. And so it's a very compelling package for agencies and businesses who don't just want to tinker around with agents, but want to deploy them in production environments.
Okay, interesting. How long does it take to set one of these up?
A basic agent could be you go to our data lake, you add your website to it. Smith will automatically read everything on your website, and there's your data lake. Then you say, I want to create a brand agent to represent my brand. What do I need for that? I need an endpoint. I can drop an endpoint that can answer customer questions. And I want to now connect a customer question to my data lake. So you just connect it with two components. You're finished. You created a brand agent. Now you want to deploy it. Where am I going to deploy it? Well, maybe you want to deploy it to your website. One click, you can configure the colors and your name and all that, right? You deploy it to your website. There's your agent. But then tomorrow, ChatGPT opens its store. And you want your brand to be there too. No problem. Deploy the agent to ChatGPT. You can already do that with our current capability. Then Microsoft is launching its AI inside of 1.4 billion Windows 10 and 11 users. Then they're going to have their app store, plugin, whatnot. You want to be reachable for 1.4 billion people. Okay, deploy it there. One click. You want to deploy it privately just for your company. No problem. Add authentication, API keys, limit IP addresses, anything. and deploy it to your internal company chat, like Microsoft Teams. No problem. You can instantly do that. So we see marketing, for example, we see that evolving into an omnichannel organic world, not just monolithic Google search page. There will be many assistants by many big companies, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta. They're all competing for that. And you need to be everywhere customers are. So we believe in like build your agents once and then deploy them everywhere. But if you just wanted to run an agent on our scalable enterprise environment to run in the background mm-hmm. and just check every hour and update you if there's any emails worth reading, like it could do that too. It can run autonomously in the background. So creating an agent can be as simple as, you know, combining two components. Or we have agents that are like 50 or 100 components chained together in very advanced workflows. It really depends on the use case.
So in some, something like Pharma, which has a lot of complex data sets, what role do you see for how the agents could manage those complex data sets in clinical trial data, for example?
Yeah. So what we're not an AI company. We're an orchestration company. So we can orchestrate any AI. So sometimes, for example, there could be like a separate AI that can scan for cancer from mm-hmm. biopsies, right? And mm-hmm. like we're not the ones creating that AI. That's the internet. That's that organic organism that keeps getting smarter. What we do is we let you tap into all these sources, combine them, and apply intelligence to it. So what previously would take a human, I would say it's like this. If you need a task done only once, do it with a human, an expert preferably, somebody who knows what they're doing. If you're going to do a task many times and it becomes like a repetitive job and you kind of can map, train employees and say, if this happens, then do that. Those jobs can be automated with agents. But there are still a whole host of tasks that a human could theoretically do because we're intelligent enough, but we don't have the mental bandwidth. So if you gave me 5 data points and asked me to make a conclusion, as let's say I'm a physician, I'm not, but imagine I was, and I have like 5 data points about a patient, I can probably correlate them and estimate what their condition might be. Mm-hmm. But if you give me 2,000 data points, I will be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Right. And so these agents are able to apply human level reasoning and decision making, but to memory scales that don't fit in the human brain. So mm-hmm. that means you can, but like with pharma, if you would imagine how a human would do it if they had an infinite brain, so to speak, and could clone themselves 1,000 times and delegate stuff, then you can imagine brand new solutions in there. Previously, we had RPA, robotic process automation, but those systems are brittle. You have to, like, if this term occurs, then do that. But they don't apply insight to it. They don't apply reasoning to it. These agents can do that. So they can both augment repetitive human work as well as extend human capabilities and intellect. You take the human workflow, but you scale it to beyond what our limited bandwidth can handle. And so those are the areas of greatest opportunity.
Have you done any work in healthcare yet with your agents?
So we are talking to healthcare, like in the health industry companies right now.
Yeah.
About building pilots. I can't tell you about their pilots because it's very early and they want to keep that advantage. Yeah. We have to keep the timelines in mind. The emerging capability was in March. We built our platform and pivoted our entire company on that observation. It took us 6 months to build it to the point where it can be enterprise worthy. Mm-hmm. And we have just spent the last month starting pilot projects. We have already delivered our first 6-figure enterprise pilot project. It's functioning, it's delivered. the client is happy. And we're also already talking, we have over 20 enterprise or agency level pilot projects currently in the pipeline. We're also working with government on defense projects. And a lot of these pilots will start materializing, early next year.
Yeah.
This is cutting edge, like a bleeding edge. This is really bleeding edge. But what's interesting is that the world was introduced to AI agents last week when OpenAI had their developer conference. And so they introduced the ability to make your own GPT.
Mm.
And that GPT is very basic. It can take a prompt, it can take a few documents, and then you can talk to it. However, they can also be very advanced. You can add certain agents to it, like APIs, plugins, and so forth. And this is where the true potential is going to come from. The true functionality is going to come from that one line on the bottom of the config page. And people so far, they haven't yet seen what these GPTs can do when they are powered with properly coded agents. Now, the entire world next year is going to want to show the best, new, coolest GPT in the store. But they're all going to be powered by agents via API. And foreseeing that everyone now knows what an agent can look like, that it's like LinkedIn is full of it. But the world hasn't yet seen what I have seen in terms of how capable these agents are. I envision your interface have like a sidebar of all your digital colleagues, just like you would talk in Slack or mm-hmm. Microsoft Teams. And whenever you need something for content marketing, you go talk to them. If you have a question for the CEO, that's just like, what would the CEO say, but not like a critical decision making, you would go talk to the avatar of the CEO with everything he thinks about that topic already in his knowledge. And they can also do things like prepare a sales pitch or do competitive research or fill out an RFP or apply for a grant on your behalf or go and look for new potential clients. It can do pretty much, let me put it another way. Fiverr will become irrelevant, and every Fiverr.com job or Upwork gig will become an agent. And so instead of hiring human for a gig, you're going to talk to an agent to do that for you. So you're going to have the public marketplace of agents, but then the real awesome companies are going to have their internal workforce that has capabilities that are not public, that use private data, private process, secret and private to their company. And that is going to be their secret sauce, their Coca-Cola recipe, and how they're going to be relevant in this economy.
So you've mentioned before that you've got, when we were talking earlier, a keen interest in AI's potential for social good. What are some of the ways that you think the Smith OS system could be used to improve global healthcare outcomes?
Oh, God. I am so excited about the future. I don't know if you can tell, audience. But it's like when you know, there's people that talk about having near-death experiences, and then they talk about what they've seen, and they are obviously they're back to life, right? But that those moments, they change their perception on life, their outlook on life. Mm-hmm. They're never the same. Well, as a visionary, which is my job title, I am living in the future. So I'm like a time traveler from the future. And if you were to go back to the 1980s and could describe what the internet looks like on a mobile phone and e-commerce and everything, you know, people would like say like, what are you talking about? And now we all think it is normal. Well, when it comes to these opportunities, right, and the excitement I have, that stems from the fact that once you see the future, you can't unsee it. It is as if that future is already there. And so that is where the excitement comes from. I foresee us revolutionizing last mile patient care completely. I mean, our healthcare system is completely ridiculous. Okay, so you you got this illness, you got this ailment. You don't quite know what it is, but it's not bugging you too much. So you wait around until it gets worse. And then when it gets really bad, you're like, oh my gosh, I need to go see a doctor. And then you finally go see a doctor. And then they try to do a diagnosis, but it's the wrong doctor, or he doesn't have the full specialization to interpret the data properly. Then you go to another doctor and another doctor. And then finally, like way too late, you know what's wrong with you. And then you need to have care. Like, let's talk about that last mile. In the future, our wearables are just going to talk to the healthcare provider of our choice, agent system that is constantly and proactively monitoring our health, is going to know our medical history, our cares, worries. If we wake up with a little cough or something, we just say, hey, this is how I'm feeling today. And based on that, we make predictive estimations so that the doctor proactively can say, hey, I think you should check in. There's something unusual. How many lives can we save just with that? Forget all the sci-fi, gene therapy, all of that stuff yet. We talked about it at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Just that simple fact that we can get care when we need it, sometimes before we even know that we need it. Yeah, the applications are tremendous. And I happen to think that, you know, for anyone who can still make it 20 years from now and live long enough to see 20 years from now, I'm convinced that these advancements we have in science, thanks to AI, including AI agents, I think your life will be extended by another 20 years.
Yeah, fascinating.
And so you need to be generation zero and you need to live 20 years longer.
So for some, but not for all. So for pharmaceutical companies that are hesitant to adopt AI in this kind of agent world, what would make the transition smoother and easier for them?
Yeah, so every chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at your process. Look at your bottleneck. It could be in HR, right? It could be in supply chain. It could, whatever it is, find mm-hmm. your weakest links. Take a look at how that process is done today. Take a piece of paper and map it out. What does a person do? Go back to first principles. What does that process look like? Where are humans involved? What data sources would make this better? And there you have it. You've just drawn what your agent workflow will look like in Smith. No code, drag and drop, easy. Come talk to us and we'll turn your drawing into a functional agent. And then you can just go and try it out and test it at a small scale. You see the productivity gains, how it unblocks your business from growing. And then you scale from there.
What's your pricing model? Is it a subscription model or how does it work?
Yeah, we're in early access. So in early access mode, we're quite selective about who we work with. We want to make sure we solve the right problems.
Mm-hmm.
My kids have already come to me and asked me to make them a homework agent. clearly we can solve global warming issues or we can solve homework. I mean, one of them is more important and I know which ones my kids might pick, unfortunately. So we're quite selective right now in our early access program. But if you have a real opportunity to solve a process problem that has been plaguing your business maybe for 20 years, and you never dreamed you would come to the day that you actually have access to technology to streamline that. If you want to make your business more efficient and survive this, you know, deflationary future that we're going to face, right? With hyper competition, with thanks to AI, unfortunately, that's the side effect, right? We're all worried about inflation right now. I say like 10 years from now, everyone's going to wish we were back in an inflationary environment because when everything gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, it's harder and harder for us to make that work. But our pricing model right now is basically, we're looking at the number of production level agents you deploy, mm-hmm. less at how many you develop in development. And then we look at the volume of usage of successful tasks they need to complete on a mm-hmm. monthly basis.
Okay.
At this time, we're still trying to understand best, like what the exact pricing needs to be for usage. We're operating on a fair usage base right now. The typical customer will just pay us for like a platform access fee right now. And we work with them to implement their solutions. And we try to understand their needs. And, you know, fortunately, the AI models or the internet, that organic living thing that we tap into, all those systems, you're noticing like the foundation models are becoming like two times, three times, four times more affordable every 6 months.
Yeah.
So it's like a really, it's a trend. That's the cost is not trending this way. The cost is trending this way.
Yeah.
All right. And so we need to, when we think about the pricing, we need to think about that in those terms. Like, where is my company going to be a year from now as compared to my peers in the industry who adopt this technology, and look at the trends in cost there for AI usage trending down. This will end up being commoditized. So it's right now, people pay for early access. They pay for an early adopter, first mover advantage, a competitive edge. And with time, those things will become more and more commoditized.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you really led us to an exciting and visionary future of this. It's really, it's not even the future, is it? It's now, but.
Can we believe it? I got to pinch myself.
But it's good. But people have to start to use it to see the benefits of it. So for anyone who's wanting to delve into the world of agents and using this more, if you go to smythos.com, then you will be able to see more about it, and you can reach out to Alexander and his team. Thank you so much for your time today, Alexander. Very, very fascinating. Doctor.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.